right.
America Tonight. Boy, we're getting close to another weekend without football this time around. Normally, nailed the score. No, nailed the score. Won't be back until hoops when we got college March Madness. But we have a whole lot of other things we're going to get to in this hour, including we're going to take you to Washington, D.C., find out some of the inside scoop on what's happening at the conservative showdown, or hoedown, I should say. It's not really a showdown necessarily. It's more a war of words, the conservative gathering in D.C. Actually, I've been there before, and it's a kind of who's who in politics. In fact, all the people running will make an appearance at some point in the next couple of days. Sarah Palin is the keynoter on Saturday. Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, who is being touted as a possible presidential contender in the future, and maybe the VP on the undercard for somebody this time around, open things up with a full-on frontal attack on Barack Obama. Part of the news was about jobs. That's what he talked about. And jobless numbers came out, the claims anyway. And the actual number of unemployed is at 8.3%. Some people are questioning that, but the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, was questioning a lower number.
The Obama administration told us that the president's stimulus plan were passed, unemployment would be at 6% today. And I think it's certainly fair to ask, does the president want to accomplish anything this year?
Ooh, pulling no punches, let's say. All right, so one of the things that the president was touting during the day more than jobs was this deal with the mortgages and what's going to happen here. In other words, a mortgage settlement. But the strange thing is this mortgage settlement also means that some people will find that that's the end of the road for them since it's taken 16 months to figure this latest idea out. It means that some people will find themselves in a situation where their houses are just taken away in the dark of the night. But, you know, who's going to pay for all this? That's the other thing. How about the people who didn't get a $500,000 house when they had a salary of $30,000? How about those people? Well, that would be you and me, and we get to pay for this in some way, shape, or form. I'm certain of it. So this large deal in addressing the housing meltdown, you got the feds and state officials announcing a $26 billion foreclosure settlement with the five largest home lenders, which, by the way, doesn't include Fannie or Freddie, and they're in the 90s. So the rest of the big ones we're talking about, and that would be Chase and Bank of America, the usual suspects. So what happens is at least $17 billion will go to reducing the principal owned by homeowners who are both underwater and behind on their mortgages. The agreement calls for principal reduction, let's say, of maybe a million people, but I think it's going to be a little less than that. And it's unlikely the money's going to go that far because many people need more than the 17,000 average reduction that would happen if the money is split among the 1 million. That's nice, huh? Okay, so we got to help you. We're going to bail you out here. We'll see if we can get you that 17,000. You made it into the boat. You're going to the brave new world, and we're going to save your house. So here's your 17,000. Anybody else getting a check for 17,000? I mean, I'm just saying. So we have all these people who are underwater homeowners, and what's going to happen now is the ones that are current on their mortgages, they're going to be able to refi the current loans at lower rates. So they won't get that reduction in principal, but they'll get the new record lows, whatever it is, 375, 389. You know how that fluctuates a little bit from day to day. So this is the biggest settlement, second biggest settlement ever involving states, by the way. It only trails the $206 billion. I read this today. I'm not shocked by it. It only trails the $206 billion pact in 1998 with the tobacco industry. How about that? But it's nowhere near what Wall Street has had to do to resolve their problems with various meltdowns. However, we're the ones that have to pay for that, for this. That's what I'm saying. We have to pay for this. And this is now our third or fourth slam at this pinata. That's what we're doing. We're slamming the pinata. And woo-hoo-hoo! I get to grab those dollars that are falling out. Oh, no, I don't, because I had to figure out ways to pay mortgages when something went awry in my life. And all of you can relate to this. I mean, look, it's not that we're shoving or shutting the door on a brother or sister who needs help. It's just that logically we see that there were plenty of people, yes, in some ways duped, but in other ways, if I am shopping around, I go to get a loan for a $500,000 house. I'm not asked any of these questions. I can just make up any number I want on what I'm getting paid, etc. Come on. Am I not complicit in this? I'm not complicit because I can't. Of course I am. I'm culpable. I know what I make. If I'm part of a couple, you know what you make. And you go into the bank and they're giving you this loan. I mean, it must have felt like they were in Willy Wonka's factory and that it was real, that dreams really do come true. It's a fantasy. But the thing is, we all pay for the new reality. We do. And I just think that's unfair. So once again, we're going down the same road. And who's there to catch you? Who's there to write out a check for you when you need it? Could you use $17,000 right now? Of course you could. I guarantee there's no one listening to me that would say, you know what? I don't really need it. Unless Mark Cuban, my pal, happens to be listening by accident, tripping onto the show tonight. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that, of course, we would all take that money. But we're not being offered that money. All right, one a slither of good news. I feel like I'm just too much on the negative path here, so I got to give you something positive at the top. How about this? There is a push to a proposal to halt what is now an IRS-administered entitlement that gives free money. Here we go with the money thing again. Free money to low-income illegal immigrants who take advantage of a child tax credit. So, you know, the child tax credit, how much we're talking about here. It's an average of about $1,800. So this proposal, if it were to go through, would require people filing tax returns to prove they're legal workers, right? This effort has really upset a lot of people. A lot of Hispanic people don't like it. A lot of Democratic folks don't like it either. They say that it's a way to help pay for extending the payroll tax cut, and it's going to trim the federal spending by about $10 billion over a decade. The IRS checks average about $1,800. I mean, there's a weird quirk in our law. People who aren't even authorized to work in our country are supposed to file returns with the IRS. They can't get a Social Security number. So the IRS hands out what is known as individual tax identification numbers so illegal workers can file returns. What is wrong with this picture? I tell you. We're going to D.C. next. Go there with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. As you know, each and every show we go inside the Beltway with a true insider, CPAC on the mind of many. Big, big, big thing going on in Washington, D.C. Talk Radio News' Jeff Holtzman had a front row seat and had some interesting conversations with a few people that we're excited to talk to him about. And then we're going to ask him, of course, about the president's big fundraiser. Jeff, a busy day for you. I bet you're whipped. How many lattes did you have today?
Well, CPAC is a zoo, you know. I mean, you've been before, so you know how it is. And we're down in Radio Row. And this year's event, I think, is even bigger than in previous years, you know, from what I can recall, because it looks like they've opened up more space. There's more vendors. It certainly looked like there were more people at day one of this year's CPAC than, say, last year. And this is the fourth straight year that I've been. So I think that's saying something. And a lot of radio hosts there. But it's a good time. I had a couple conversations with a few people who are, I guess, regulars at this point at CPAC. Grover Norquist, he's sort of a D.C. celebrity, of course, heads up the Americans for Tax Reform group. Talked to him mainly about Rick Santorum. And I wanted to talk to him about Santorum, given the fact that Santorum won a couple primaries earlier this week. He's in the news right now, and he's on a roll. And I talked to Grover about a couple things, namely Rick Santorum's alleged involvement in this K Street project back in the 90s when Rick Santorum was in the early 2000s when Rick Santorum was in the Senate. The K Street, you know, for your listeners that aren't aware, is essentially the main corridor in downtown Washington where all the lobbyists mm-hmm. set up shop. And the K Street project was something that Grover Norquist was heavily involved in, and what it was, you know, Republicans allegedly looking to fill lobbyist positions with other Republicans, to basically line themselves with the special interest groups. Now, Santorum was allegedly involved in that in terms of hosting meetings with lobbyists and trying to recruit and put Republicans on to other job openings and job ideas. I talked to Norquist about it today. He said that that is extremely not true. He said that Santorum's role in that whole project has been greatly over-exaggerated, despite the fact that Norquist himself was a big part of it. He said Santorum really didn't have much involvement other than to set up the meetings on Capitol Hill, but he never really himself engaged in the kind of lobbying or tried to get people into lobbying positions. So that's according to Grover Norquist, who had a front-row seat to those, you know, discussions back in the early 2000s. So I just found that interesting about Rick Santorum. We talked also about, you know, Santorum supporting earmarks when he was in Congress, but you know, Grover Norquist, who's definitely an anti-earmark guy. I mean, this guy is all about identifying government waste and government overspending and corruption, and of course has been a crusader for years against high taxes. He said that Santorum, it's almost a guarantee that he would back a ban on earmarks. Right now, Dave, in Congress, there's a temporary ban on earmarks. You don't see that happening this year or last year, but it could come back. And Santorum, so far in the campaign, has pledged that he would do away with them permanently. That's also something that Mitt Romney has supported. But, you know, in Santorum's case, it's interesting given his past support of them. Norquist says, however, it's not a problem. He would take Santorum at his word when he says that he would ban earmarks. So some interesting stuff.
Yeah, and talking about the earmarks, too, it's interesting because earmarks are big. Like, and I'm no fan of earmarks, except for you and I both know if you look at the budget when we're talking about slashing all the spending and whatnot, the earmarks are really minuscule, and I'm not a fan of them compared to everything else that we're talking about, though, aren't they?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you look at the last time earmarks were widespread in Congress, and they amounted to about $18 billion in the budget. And of course, that's minuscule when you look at the size of the federal annual budget, which is now upwards of you know, $3.5 trillion. But nonetheless, the problem with earmarks is that they corrupt. You know, if you have somebody, if you have a lawmaker who requests earmarks through the appropriations process, you know, a lot of times it's quid pro quo. It's pay to play. Okay, I'll support your earmark. I'll let you have that earmark. But at the same time, you have to support, you know, XYZ legislation that I'm working on that otherwise you might not be inclined to support. And that legislation that's sort of being traded for the earmarks might be bad legislation, and it might have nothing in terms of benefiting the constituents and the district of the lawmaker that's having it go along with it. So that's kind of how earmarks corrupt. I mean, it might not be, you know, earmarks make up 3 or 4% of the budget, but in the long run, the offshoot of that, the result of that is a much higher amount of spending, much larger percent.
But what was the feeling? You said, as you were talking about, it was just jam-packed because this is a presidential year, too, and the big race on the Republican side. What were some of the – well, first of all, who were some of the other people? You mentioned Grover, but who were some of the other people, big names, that go to CPAC? Usually there's a whole bunch of heavy hitters that are there.
Sure, sure. Well, for today, you know, there were a couple guys. Today, Rand Paul gave a speech, and he came down to Radio Row afterwards. And, of course, Rand Paul is stumping for his dad. Michelle Bachmann was there. Michelle Bachmann, of course, no longer running for president, but she has decided to run for re-election to the House, which surprised a few folks out there. So she was down there today, and Michelle Bachmann has not endorsed yet, but it'll be interesting to see who she backs. And then, of course, you know, you had Herman Cain. Herman Cain, you know, when I pulled up today at the Wardman Park Hotel downtown, Herman Cain's big 999 Cain Solutions was the first thing that I saw in the parking lot. I thought that was kind of funny. So he was there bright and early because I got there at like 6 a.m. And Herman Cain, of course, has thrown his support behind Newt Gingrich. And so, you know, and we'll see Gingrich tomorrow. We'll see Mitt Romney tomorrow. And we'll see Santorum tomorrow as well. In fact, we might, at Talk Radio News Service, we might have Rick Santorum coming down to do a little interview with us in the morning. So it should be an exciting day. And then, of course, Sarah Palin will be there on Saturday. Palin wasn't at CPAC last year, but she'll be there giving the keynote address, or the farewell address, I should say, on Saturday.
Yeah, and Sarah Palin, I think, Jeff, she's kind of a kingmaker, at least from the Tea Party standpoint. I think that her words carry a lot of weight with people.
Oh, absolutely. And so far, she's kind of passively, aggressively endorsed Newt Gingrich. I mean, she hasn't, you know, thrown an official announcement, made an official announcement or thrown official support behind him, but all of her statements and the things that she's been saying and blogging lately indicate that she's with Newt right now and not with Mitt Romney. I mean, Romney's got a rack of endorsements. He's got a ton of governors on his side. He's got a couple Tea Party endorsements in, you know, Chris Christie and Nikki Haley in South Carolina. But yeah, certainly a Palin official endorsement would throw some extra support behind whoever she chooses to back.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and you know, we're talking conservative CPAC, thus the name. Was the feeling that you know, positive for the presidential election year, that hey, despite everything that you're hearing, there's a great chance whoever the nominee is, we have a great chance to win this thing and slay the giant, because it's tough to knock off an incumbent president? There was a lot of that, wasn't there, or no?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting, because going back to my conversation with Grover Norquist, but one of the things we were talking about is, regardless of who the nominee is on the Republican side, Grover seems to think that it's inevitable that Republicans are going to take back the Senate. And I talked to some other folks who agree with that. Jim Gilmore used to be governor in the state of Virginia. Mm. He then ran the RNC. He felt the same way. He thinks that it's almost an inevitability that Republicans will keep the House, will take back the Senate. And when you think about that, that's kind of a wild card. It might not necessarily, I mean, you know, obviously there are a fair amount of voters out there on the Republican side who are a little uneasy right now. I mean, there's a lot of folks who haven't made their choice yet. And, you know, when you go back and look at exit polls in Florida, for instance, a couple weeks ago, 4 out of 10 voters said they haven't made up their mind, or they were, you know, not satisfied, I should say, with the current field. But I think, a lot of these, analysts and observers and folks who have served, you know, in Congress, think that Republicans are going to take back the Senate. They'll have complete control of Washington, and then really whoever they put in the White House is going to have an easy time to you know, carry out their agenda, because they won't have, you know, Democrats putting up you know, creating obstacles for them.
Yeah.
Much like the first few years of the Barack Obama administration, where he had Democrats in Washington and he got, you know, his health care plan and he got Wall Street reform and his stimulus through easily.
Yeah. The president, we were talking about this in the beginning, fundraiser, what was the big deal there?
Well, you know, we were talking about Rick Santorum, and one of the things that I heard today from one of Santorum's spokespeople is that he's raised $2.1 million since his big wins on Tuesday in Minnesota and Colorado and Missouri. You know, you think to yourself, $2.1 million in 3 days or 2 days, that's pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. But then you look at President Obama. President Obama had a fundraiser tonight in Washington, D.C., at the home of a lesbian couple. Actually, which is interesting, because President Obama has never gone on record as supporting same-sex parents, but he held a big fundraiser tonight. 40 people attended, and all of them contributed the max.
Stop.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk, soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally, instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. And the answer is, Ali C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali C.
Can't wait to introduce you to our next guest here on America Tonight. Alan Karam is a guy who now attends the University of Utah and actually volunteers his time to teach English at a pretty highly regarded place, actually, a refugee and immigrant center at the Asian Association of Utah. But what's his story? Here's his story. He knows what it's like to be an immigrant, and he wants to try to make it better and make this the bipartisan solution and figure out what are we going to do here. And with good reason, because can you imagine this? I want you to think about this. In 1997, his family was brought to the U.S. from Iraq by former President Clinton. His father worked undercover for the CIA to help, we've talked about this before, to help bring down Saddam Hussein. When the secret was, of course, discovered, they had to run for their lives, flee for their lives. So Karam and six other members of the family were brought to Salt Lake City. Thus, we fast forward, and I just gave you a story as what he's doing now. Alan, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks, Kate. Good to be here.
Take us back to that moment, because I want people to understand what that felt like. Your father was helping the United States at his own peril and his family's peril, and he knew that, but he must have believed in the mission, I'm assuming, and talked to you about that. But what was that like? First of all, what was it like leading up to before you actually fled the country?
It was actually really bad. From 1988 till 1997, we had to flee town to town just because, you know, the Iraqi people were kind of suspicious on my father's whereabouts, because, you know, he wouldn't come home at night. He would disappear for months. So they knew, kind of, but, you know, they didn't have any substantial evidence that he was actually working, you know, for the CIA. But in 1997, one of my father's last operations somehow was discovered among the Iraqi people. And right away, we had to flee the city,
And, you know, President Clinton got us out of there, and it was good that we got out, because my father, Saddam Hussein put a contract out on my father's head, and for my whole family to be buried alive the week after we left.
You mean the other family members that were left behind?
My family, like we Saddam Hussein put a contract out on my father's head, and for my immediate family to be buried alive.
Oh yeah,
We fled the country.
Wow. I thought you meant other cousins, because were there other people in your family, you know, the other cousins or relatives that stayed behind? Because they must have, right? It was just your family that was taken to the United States. What happened with them?
Just my family.
Oh, okay. All right. So when your family comes to the United States, you're dropped off in a one-bedroom house, no money, no support, no help from the government to get established. Do you remember what that was like? That had to be strange. Did you, what was that like? What was that like for your family?
It was actually pretty bad. We were dropped off, in fact, that night, February 25th, 97. It was snowing really bad. One of the guy that helped us, he worked for this organization called International Rescue Committee. He picked us up from the airport, and he dropped us off, and he said, "Here's the key, and I'll get with you guys. I have other family." So we walked in. The electricity was, you know, was on, but there was no heat in the house. The heater wasn't working, and the house was just a mess. It was pretty bad, and we just never heard from these guys again. We wrote several letters. They sent us a check. And actually, the landlord told us that the house was, the rent was half paid. So he came over and said, you guys need to pay the other half. And that's when we found out that they only, because initially they told us they were going to pay 3 months of the rent, 3 months of, while we're in the U.S., they'll pay the first 3 months, but they only paid half month rent. So we had to, quickly we had to get out and get ourselves jobs. In fact, I was supposed to start, high school. I went down to the Salt Lake Community College. There's a library there. And so I got myself a job in the evening.
Oh, so you jumped into it right away. And, you go through that and you see what happened with your family. And I wonder, what about your father? What was it like for him? Because then he must have been looking for work, too, as well.
Absolutely. He found a job doing carpentry work early in the morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning till about noon. But until this day, he's very disappointed. Excuse me. Just because the immigration, even the immigration kept denying us papers. And he was having me to write, letters to the state senators and the congressmen. I wrote a few letters. Nobody responded. I tried to make an appointment with one of the Salt Lake governor.
Right.
And a few times I tried to go in, and he's like, they kept telling me, he's out of town and he can't see you. So this is what I told my father. I said, I'll put everything in a book, and maybe that way they can. Somehow we can get their attention.
Yeah, there you go. So you know what that's like. So you see this battle over illegal immigration, and I got to think that you have opinions about this. For sure you do. Do you think illegal immigrants should be given the same rights as the legal ones that come in?
It's going to hurt us a lot if that's going to happen. You know why? Because we are legal in this country. My father, devoted his life, pretty much 16 years working for the CIA. And we came to this country. We had tried to apply for, citizenship and green card, the permanent residency change status. Never happened. And now they're talking about giving rights to, the illegals. I think we should... The immigration should look back and say, hey, we have this many people that are legal in the U.S. and they don't have any papers. Let's have them documented before we move on to the illegals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that, because that could be confusing and be a nightmare for all the other people already who have done, as you said, like your father working for 16 years for the CIA. That would really mix things up. There's this big push, and you're following this, for the DREAM Act, and you think the DREAM Act could turn into an immigration nightmare. Is that the reason why, part of what you just told me?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's why I agree with you 100%, no question. All right, how about this, you know, I mentioned this at the top, you're teaching English to Asian immigrants. That has to be rewarding for you. Did you want to do that because you want to give back? What was your reason for doing that?
The reason I started doing that, I wanted to know, you know, they've got immigrants from all over the world, and so I talked to them, you know, I help them out with whatever they need. Obviously, I go in twice a week, about 3 hours, and I talk to most of them and how they were treated, and they were just, you know, not to lessen the importance of their arrival, but they're just refugees, and the things they have gained from the government, it's unbelievable. Like one family I talked to, they told me twice a week, they go pick them up, they take them to the store to do all their shopping, and they bring them back. And this is kind of intriguing for me, because nothing like that, not even close to that, happened to, you know, to my family. Whether, like, if the government ever came and said, hey, you guys need any money, or if you guys need any help, we can help you. But these guys are telling me that, you know, they go out and they, you know, they help them stop shopping, they take them to events and to movie and things like that. It just kind of gives me a lot of information.
So we mentioned this, your family gets there in 97. We've gone through all of this, and you look to what happened on 9/11/2001, obviously 2001 September. So that had to have changed some things for you. Did life get tougher for you because people knowing your background, or no?
It did. It did. We Utah. Many people ask me the same thing, and they tell me, hey, how's Utah as far as diversity? And it's not diverse as any other cities. Like, for instance, New York, or, you know, Dallas, L.A. But in 2001, we moved to Detroit, Michigan. We had a couple of families, just, you know, close friends, and they said Detroit was more diverse. So we went over there. The jobs were very bad. So we came back.
Ooh, and Detroit, so you're saying really Detroit was the epicenter of problems, because that illegal thing, and then naturally the part of the world that you were from, that had to be tough.
Right.
Yeah. So now you talked about this too as well, mentioning the fact that you're working on the memoirs. That has to be pretty therapeutic in one way for you. Do you feel like you're just, you're just pouring out the whole family history, huh?
I am. Oh, absolutely. The thing that I haven't even mentioned with you here is that, excuse me, like we talked about 9/11. After that, I could not get on airplane for some. I couldn't, you know, at airports I could be easily spotted. You know, my luggage was lost a couple of times. I was taken off the plane once because I was sitting in the exit row. Just, you know, things like that I want to really, you know, write
emphasize. Yeah. Well, see, and here's the thing: you could easily have said flippantly, "Listen, my father practically gave all of our lives for the United States, working with the CIA in Iraq." Right.
You know, it's kind of a funny thing, because we did that with the immigration. One day we got into a huge argument with them, and they said, you know what, you guys need to bring in your birth certificate. And we said, you know, we're from Iraq, obviously. So my dad got really pissed off, got really upset with that. He came over there, and he's like, you know, he showed him he has an identification still. And he said, look, I have served for this country. And they laughed at us. So, you know, we thought not to mention it anymore.
Yeah. I understand. Hopefully that's all behind you. Alan Karam, thanks so much. We look forward to your book, and come back on with us, will you?
theme?
Sure. There are winter specials. And then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Oregacillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8. All specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes, whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarette's revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Because here's the deal, and I've talked about this a bunch on America Tonight, so this is just a perfect thing for us to start the show off with. You know, the Mount Soledad Memorial Association and veterans of many wars unite pretty much together to defend this 58-year-old war memorial from being torn down. And we're talking about a landmark. I can't tell you how many times when I lived in California, I drove by this where I spent time near it. And, you know, for more than a half a century, it's a 29-foot Latin cross that's been on top of Mount Soledad overlooking San Diego. And it honors, really, our nation's veterans, period, end of story. It's a symbol. It's something that honors the selfless, unbelievable, selfless sacrifice and service of veterans. I mean, it's a centerpiece. I can't believe that people are complaining about this. But yes, atheists, the ACLU, and a bunch of supporters are in this long legal battle to tear down the memorial cross. So it is with great pleasure, because this is something I've been screaming about for a long time on America Tonight, that I introduce you to Kelly Shackelford, the CEO of Liberty Institute, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting religious freedoms, and now they're involved in this. Kelly, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm happy to do it.
So tell me, I understand that there was a, and we played a little snippet, some of the music, but I understand that there was a rally today. What happened at the rally?
Well, we really were having a rally somewhat to celebrate the fact that, you know, we you know, as of today, we're now in the Supreme Court. We filed the appeal into the Supreme Court on behalf of the, you know, the Veterans Association, the Mount Soledad Memorial Association. And you know, we're finally going to get to hopefully a final solution on this, and hopefully certainly get a reversal of this really outrageous decision by the Ninth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's why I said that I had talked about it for a long time, because this is one thing that caught my attention the second it made the news. But even before that, because I was very familiar with the cross. And I got to tell you, people of all different kinds of religions that I knew in California didn't think twice, didn't blink about it. It was a symbol. And everybody just embraced it. I never understood this in the first place. So how did you find out about this? How did this come to light for you?
Well, I guess we've kind of become the experts around the country, Liberty Institute has, at defending our veterans when veterans' memorials are under attack. The Mount Soledad cross is the one we're talking about today, and the veterans' memorial that's around that. But 2 years ago, you might remember, there was the Mojave Desert Veterans Memorial that was put up in 1934 by World War I vets in the middle of the Mojave Desert. And the ACLU had actually filed a lawsuit to have that memorial torn down after, you know, 77 years. And we were able to represent over 4 million veterans, and that went all the way to the Supreme Court. We were able to get a reversal of that decision by the Supreme Court, saying, look, we don't tear down our veterans' memorials because there's a cross or a Star of David in it. That's not what this country's about, and that's not what our Constitution says. And so it was a little surprising when, you know, 2 years later, same Federal Court of Appeals, the Ninth Circuit, issues this decision saying, well, the Mount Soledad one is now unconstitutional. So here we are back again. And we're hoping that with this, we can get the Supreme Court not only to reverse this, but to really put an end to these attacks on veterans' memorials. You know, the very purpose of veterans' memorials is to show honor, to remember, to respect. And this is causing disrespect and dishonor. It's a disgrace that veterans have to worry about whether their memorials are going to be torn down. That's something that shouldn't happen in this country.
I agree with you 100%. I can imagine that a lot of veterans have sounded off to you. What have you heard from the veterans?
Well, pretty much, you know, almost unanimous around the country, outrage. We had the ceremony today outside, and you've seen it. I mean, this Veterans Memorial is just absolutely breathtaking. It's been there for, you know, over 5 decades, and it's a beautiful view looking over, you know, the ocean and right near the you know, one of the naval bases. And it's just an excellent place, and the memorial's done so well. It's not only the cross, but also 3,000 plaques surrounding it. Of soldiers who have given the sacrifice for their country and the stories that are with those. It's really a moving, powerful, and beautiful setting. And one of the guys who spoke today was a member of the Jewish War Veterans who got up and said, look, you know, I am a member of the Mount Soledad Memorial Association. I've never had a problem with this memorial. And most of the Jewish, you know, leaders that I know around, you know, this area who are in the Jewish War Veterans totally agree with me. So, you know, this is ridiculous, the idea that this has to be under attack. We know that it's a cross because it represents sacrifice. for all faiths and for people of no faith at all. So the intolerant attack to try to really rip down this cross after, you know, 56 years is really ridiculous. And so that is a common, certainly, reaction of the veterans to this attack.
Yeah. And I mentioned at the top, Kelly, what you do at Liberty Institute. And it seems to me that there's been, and this is just my point of view, being a talk show host and traveling around the country and seeing some of these things that are happening, the Mojave Desert incident, which you were involved in. Why all of a sudden has this become a big issue? Why are these, because I think it's an attack on veterans and these memorials. It's crazy, especially some of them that have stood for so long. What do you chalk that up to?
Well, I mean, you know, what I think's really going on is some of these groups that are, you know, they're somewhat extremist groups. I mean, we did a national poll on this for the Mojave Desert case, and 93% of the country said leave the veterans' memorials alone. So, I mean, we're talking about a pretty small percentage that's trying to, and you know, do this and is actually filing these lawsuits and behind all these attacks. But look, these are groups that have their own agenda with regard to sort of religion in public. They'd like to remove any sort of religious expression or religious symbols from being in public. They feel like they have some sort of right not to be offended by seeing some religious symbol. And unfortunately, they don't seem to care what the collateral damage is. And so the veterans' memorials are just part of their big sort of cultural agenda to, you know, engage in somewhat of a religious cleansing across the country. And I think that's sad. You know, the veterans kind of get, you know, caught in the crossfire here and are having to undergo these ridiculous attacks. And again, you know, decisions even by courts that we've had to get overturned and have been successful so far to literally tear down memorials in some cases that have been up for, you know, over 70 years that were put up by the hands of World War One veterans or World War Two veterans that had just come back from the war and had just seen their buddies die and put up these memorials to give honor and to remember them. I mean, it's incredible, but that's what's happening. And it's just an intolerance and a mission of this small group that wants to take down religious symbols from public places.
Yeah, I agree. Kelly Shackelford, CEO of Liberty Institute. Keep fighting the good fight, and we'd love to have you back on. We'll keep our eye on what happens here. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. I would encourage people that Don't Tear Me Down site, don'ttearmedown.com, has the information on the case, and they can get that song you were playing, and all the proceeds are going to fund the case and defend the veterans' memorials.
All right, excellent. So do that. They can go to iTunes, in fact, and download it there, too. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. A lot of you have already said a few things through the miracle of the chat if you go to americatonight.net, including Quark, who says, I'm an atheist, and I sometimes find the belligerence of atheists embarrassing. It's almost as if they want to be hated. Then you have Ralph, who says, I don't understand it. Quark, I'm an agnostic, and why stop the dead from marking their faith? Then you have Dark Wolf, who says militant atheists are so hypocritical. They denounce religious people trying to press their views whilst proselytizing people that their way is the right way. You want to sound off? 800-259-5791. Meet you on the flip.